why I'm standing. I've injured my hip. It hurts when I sit. It's fine when I stand, so I can stand just like a champ. All right, All right, can I hear you? Can you say something?
Hi.
Hello. Okay, I just want to make sure that. Well, I couldn't. Zoom has changed how they do some of the unmute functions, and I was like, I haven't done it yet. I can't tell. All right, so what are we coaching on?
Well, I've been in the tribe since October 2017, and I'm kind of up and down the same 5 pounds. I started doing some recovery worksheets this past month, and I'm really getting stuck on, like, the intentional thought to try to put in there. It's kind of like my struggle with overeating in the evening after dinner, somewhere about 7 to 8 o'clock at night.
Okay.
And I think it's mainly habit.
Yeah.
And then I do my assessment the next morning, and I need to time this better, but the next morning I'm like, did I resist? No. Did you react? Yes. Did I sit with discomfort? No. So it's like, how do I get from that urge to between overeating to, like, get my brain thinking about what's going on?
Well, first, you're going to have to not eat. Your brain's not going to think about what's going on if you're eating. You know what it's thinking about?
I'm kind of numbing myself and distracting myself.
It's thinking about eating. It's like, all right, now we're back to our normal program, and this is great. So why are you eating at night?
Habit? When I look at my...
No, it's not habit. Fuck that.
When I look at my recovery worksheets...
If I was like, all right, we're going to quit biting our nails because they look fucking horrible. Like, oh my God, Sue, they look so terrible.
Okay.
Would you be like, well, Corinne, I have to keep my horrible nails because, like, it's habit. Or would you work on that?
I need to work on it.
Yeah. So why are you, the work is figuring out why you're doing it in the first place. Right now you have no compelling reason to stop because you keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. So why are we doing it, first of all? If habit can't be the answer.
When I've been making my notes here on the unintentional model, I've kind of been doing justified, entitled, impulsive.
But that's what you feel.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, all because of something you're thinking. If I said tonight for the next 30 days, you can't eat at night, what will you be thinking about every night?
Wanting to eat, not eating.
Okay. But that's off the table. We're not going to be eating. So what would you be thinking about? Can't eat.
I'm thinking about the discomfort. I don't want to sit in the discomfort. It crosses my mind for about 30 seconds and then I get something to eat.
Okay. Yeah. But we're not doing that anymore. You're dropping into the version of Sue who's like, okay, Corinne told me, like, if I eat, do you have kids?
No.
Do you have a pet you love?
Not anymore.
Do you have anything in the world? Do you have money?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. You lose all your money. Like, your paycheck comes to me if you eat at all after dinner anymore for the next 30 days. So then what are you sitting there thinking about?
I haven't figured that out yet.
Okay. You're going to do it now. That's why you're on the coaching call.
I know.
So tell me what you're going to be thinking about.
I guess I just think about, oh, I'm hungry. Oh, it's time to eat.
Yeah, but you're not going to be thinking about that now.
So are these my new intentional thoughts?
No, this is not intentional. This is going to be, I'm pissed. I don't get to eat. What's left is my question. If you're not eating, this is the reason why all of you guys are overeating at night. You don't know what's left because whatever's left, you don't like is the reason. Because if whatever's left at the end of the night, you loved it with all your heart, you would not need to eat.
Yeah.
You know what's left? Your shitty thoughts about your life.
Yeah. About my day, about what I didn't get done, about not losing weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably what you could be like, if you're not eating, do you stack a bunch of other bullshit of like, well, if we're not going to be eating, we should be doing this. You do that too?
Yeah. My TDLs turn into really superficial to-do lists. That's kind of where my brain goes.
But that's not superficial. That's your judgment of where your brain goes. What you're missing because you're too busy judging it as my superficial to-do list is like, oh my God. When I go to doing my thought download, the best I come up with is more work for me. If you're like literally when your brain is empty, if all it thinks about is your list of all the things you should be doing and all the things you like, I should be thinner. I should be this. If all you have left at the end of the day is judgment and shame, and work, then no wonder you eat. I'd eat too, if that's all I had. That's why I ate for years and years and years. Why do you think I ate ice cream every night? Because I loved ice cream? No, because I hated me, so I ate something I loved to take my mind off my self-hatred. I'm not saying you hate yourself, but let me just say that when you really love yourself, the last thing you ever do is you like, think of someone in your life, all of you, think of someone in your life you love. When you think about them, the first thing we don't go to is, here's the list of things they need to be doing, first of all. Like, oh my God, let me give them a to-do list. Because everybody we love needs that first. And second, if they're not doing that list, let me judge them and shame them. Now I have love for you.
So tonight, when I don't eat and I get antsy and my brain starts to think, you know, my brain has the temper tantrum, like you've talked about. It's that, it's like, what do I do to stop that? What do I do?
That's not my stop. So there's your problem. Okay. Oh my God. And I say this all the time. So for everybody who's wanting to ask me about the 24-hour plan and I don't follow it, my overeats at night, you guys have to watch every coaching call. Like seriously, your homework is to go to PNP Tribe and watch every fucking coaching call I've done on this topic until you hear me say it over and over again in about 500 different ways, until you hear me say it to one person one time and it's like, oh, that part's never ending. I did not realize that. It will every night say like, we're hungry. Let's go eat something. What do you got in the pantry? This will be fun. This will be a nice little trip. When you go, no, it's like, what do you mean, bitch? It like drops into angry mode. That part will eventually go away after about a month of letting it say, yo, bitch, let's go get something to eat. The problem that you're experiencing, this is the hard part for you. It is not the voice. We all think that the voice is the problem. The problem is you wanting the voice to go away. That's the fight. That's the anger. That's where the resistance and the white knuckling and all of the, like, this feels terrible comes into play. When you can take that part away, all you're really left with is a desire for some food. And the desire for the food is not nearly as strong as the wishing, the wanting, the pining, the anger, the judgment, the shame of the conversation you have about yourself to get the food. So my sad news, because, you know, I always like to wrap this up with a high note, is that it's going to be hard. And the only intentional thought that I can give you is like, this is just part of the process. It's not the emergency I'm making it out to be. But the desire is going to be there. The want is going to be there. There is no way that I'm going to drop a thought bomb on you and you'll be like, the secret to my overeating. It was all in that sentence. I never overate again once she said that. that part's not coming ever. Okay. It's the intentional thought is more about, it's going to take some time. I'm going to want it for a long time. But now I refuse to judge myself about it. Now I refuse, like, and if I eat, there's no way in hell I'm doing my recovery worksheet in the morning. I'm going to do it while I'm eating now. Like, the level up for you is, so seriously, do you plan these overeats?
I do. I actually put usually what I eat at 7, I put something on at 8. And my brain sometimes goes to, well, it's on my plan.
Okay, but you need to eat it.
But I'm not going to lose weight that way.
You're not losing weight now doing it the way you're doing it. All you're doing is gaining a lot of emotional pain on top of it. You're maintaining while gaining emotional weight. Do you want to be a fat emotional weight person?
No.
Right. That's what all of us do. We have like two bodies. We have the physical presence that we think we're going to somehow force into just complying to our wants and desires, which is what you're doing. But you're not going to get there doing it by planning it. So we're going to overeat every night and then cry and whine about it. That's the plan. And then you become like an overweight emotional child. Eating all these feelings and shame and judgment. That version of you is like, you know, getting large every single day that you do that method. And like a lot of you love to go to your past diets. Oh, fucking God. Go to your past like 3 weeks of trying it that way and say like, that seems to have always failed.
Okay.
Now what I want you to do is I want you to like get thin in your brain. I want you to have a thin mental version of you. Because once the thin version of you takes over, the physical part can come along for the ride. The physical part can't come along right. Your physical being can't fight your brain.
Yeah.
She'll always win. You need to work with her. That's going to start with you actually planning it and telling yourself, every time I tell myself planning these overeats won't work, that's the real lie I tell myself. That's not the truth. The truth is, when I do these eats, I don't do them unconsciously anymore. I don't ever eat justified ever again. I don't eat with this list, those ugly ass little feelings you listed off. We don't eat from that place anymore. We eat from certainty. We eat from clarity. We eat with awareness. We eat with like absolute determination to solve this problem. That's how we eat. There's your thoughts.
Yeah.
And so then you eat what's on that plan, and you can still do a recovery worksheet, even if it's on the plan, just to gain more awareness around it. But what I want you to do is make a promise to yourself that what you refuse to do from now on is underplan and overeat. I want you to overplan and potentially undereat, because one day you look at it and you just like, man, I'm better than this. I can sit with the desire for it now. I'm done with that part because I don't judge myself for wanting it anymore. Okay. Does that help?
Yeah. I need to, I'll come back and re-listen to it again.
Do it. You're like probably 5 times. Like I was with life coaches all weekend long for 2 days. They were all listening to Brooke. I know she has said this stuff to them like 30,000 times at this point. And in the room, there's like, oh yeah. Like it's just like the first time, you know, I mean, it's, you just sometimes have to hear it over and over and over again for it to truly make sense. So tonight, plan whatever it is, like get on your plan and go ahead and plan realistically, like really realistically. And then I want you to make the decision to eat it or not. And you honor your decision. And you do not get pissed if you say, well, no, there's no way to lose weight, so I'm not going to eat this tonight. But you're like all in, and then you're all in on the shit you're going to think. Because you need to tell yourself in that moment, when I say no, I'm signing up for all of my thoughts to come in along to work on those. Or I'm signing up to eat it super consciously so that the conversation can start changing. So it's not a numb conversation. It is now allowed, because this is the problem. You're having this, I can't eat like this and lose weight conversation when it doesn't matter. Like you're having it with me right now. You know when this conversation has to happen? When the cookie's in the hand. When it's going to the mouth because it's on the plan. That's the best time to have that conversation. Like, I can't lose weight eating you. And I know you're on my plan. I'm willing to like set you down and want you so bad I can taste you. Rather than, there's no way I can lose weight doing that. So today's the day it's going to all change. I know it's just a habit, but I'm Sue Larson and I can do amazing things and I'm not planning it. And you know what I'm, because that's what we always think. Today's the day. Somehow I've morphed into a new human. No. 8 o'clock comes, is like, holy fuck, I'm still Sue Larson. You know?
Yeah.
All right. This was such a good one. I'm really glad you brought it up because this is like, I know I coach this all the time, but I will coach it 5,000 more times if that's what it takes for like somebody to hear it in a way that makes it make sense.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, lady.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Roxanna. And girls, if you are waiting to be coached and I am coaching you with one of these, you need to come with what you learned and then let's dive even deeper. Don't come and say like, well, I have the same problem. Like, you know, you're the unicorn with the same problem who's going to get some kind of different coaching. No. Tell me what you just picked up and where you're going to struggle and let's go on to the next thing. All right, Roxanna, you're coming up. Hey, Roxanna, can you flip your phone so I don't have to stand like this? I think you'll have to unmute you. Say something.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hey, how are you? Thank you.
Can I say
I'm a newbie.
Let me say one thing. Can I say one thing before you start?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. January newbie. What are we talking about?
I am a January newbie. I have done my 24-hour plan for 66 days now.
Ooh.
I have the data.
Six. That's a good one.
I followed my plan completely for 24 of those days. I ate off plan for 32 and I made lateral same switches for 11.
Okay.
I'm playing with the same 3 pounds.
Yeah, it's probably because of those 33 overeats, right?
You think?
I mean, that's half. So 50% of the time I do some shit. And I'm like seriously maintaining. I don't understand why when I half-ass, I maintain.
Right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, but this is a good thing. You have data.
I do.
It says 50% equals net result. Because when we're overweight, this is what when we're gaining, mm-hmm. like we're like in the 75% donking off. And when we're losing, we're down here in like 25% land and we're losing. You got to cut this shit in half, at least.
So step one to do that
mm-hmm.
is to make a more realistic plan or just knock off my grab assing.
Well, what do you think?
I think it's both. And
tell
I think
me
it's
about that. Like, just tell me about like, tell me about the grab assing.
I think I make a realistic plan. And I think if things go wrong that I have not yet learned to sit in it and to sit in my emotions and to feel
so what's
it.
On this, like, tell me, give me a good example of, I have a realistic, this is my realistic plan. So what would that be? When do you overeat?
Usually either between lunch and dinner or after dinner.
Okay, so you're like everyone else. Guys, I want to tell you guys how all of it works. So this is going to be like 90% of the tribe. Mm-hmm. I start the day with like the most energy in my brain. My brain is very focused. It's motivated. It sees its future self. It's like, today's the day. Wahoo. As the day goes along, we have to keep making decisions all day long. And things like, especially when shit, when we always say life happens or shit happens, that means our brain has to make decisions it wasn't prepared for.
Right.
That's really all that happens. I don't want you guys to say life happens and shit goes wrong. It's like, no, like my husband has a heart attack. I need to decide which way to get to the hospital faster. And then when I get there, I need to talk to the doctor and I need to do this. That's why our brains wear down because it's like, oh, here's a bunch of situations. I hadn't planned on making decisions. Mm-hmm. So then what happens is when it's time to make a decision to follow the plan, our brains are tired.
Yeah, so decision fatigue.
Yes. So I think for you, like step one is to examine the first half of the day. If it's wearing out, because here's the thing, shit don't happen 50% of the time. You know when shit really happens? Like 5% of life is when shit happens.
You're right.
The rest of it is I can anticipate my boss is going to be an asshole. I can anticipate traffic. I can anticipate all these other things. But we act like it's a big ass surprise every day. Mm-hmm. Ooh, shit's happening. So that, I just wanted to point that out because a lot of people have that issue. So now we're getting into that point. What is the realistic plan that you have that's not good enough when life is happening? Typically.
What am I eating?
Yeah, like, so it's say it's dinner. What do you normally plan for dinner that you consider is, this is my realistic plan?
I normally plan, some sort of main vegetable bean dish and then sometimes a green on the side.
That's the realistic plan.
Yes.
No, yeah. It's not. So let me tell you what the realistic plan is. When shit happens, what are you eating for dinner?
I've prepped my food ahead of time and it's what I've made.
When shit happens and you say, what's in the 33%, what's the 33 dinners that you have?
I add a bunch of nuts and dark chocolate, or I add some chips, or I add some crackers and dip.
Okay, so it's not realistic because here's what Roxanne wants to have for dinner. Mm-hmm. Roxanne wants to include chocolate in her plan. Yeah. Roxanne would like to include chips sometimes. Sometimes Roxanne's probably going to plan at dinner, chips and a sandwich, whatever it is. That needs to be planned. That's what I was trying to tell you. A protein and a healthy grain. If I ask everybody, tell me your realistic plan. If I told you my realistic plan, protein and a health, and a, that's like, this is like thin on time. Like I'm going to lose all the weight, Corinne.
You're right. You're right.
So
you're right.
Go ahead.
And I tend to, I'll eat that way for a week and I'll eat perfect. And then this has happened a few times now. I don't lose anything. Mm-hmm. And then the next week I have some snacks and I make it more realistic and I lose.
I didn't do that. Oh my fucking God.
You're right. You're right. I think I have so much of the old diet mentality in me that I think I won't lose. So I need to work on a more realistic plan. Step one.
I would do that. And I would just tell myself, you know, the surefire way not to lose weight. Asking myself to 33 times out of every 66 days to overeat.
Yeah.
That's called unrealistic expectations.
You're right. You're right.
Like go a solid month of like literally planning what's going to feel good to have. Because the best way to shed your diet mentality skin, mm-hmm. This is what's so funny. We all hate our old diet mentality, and yet we abhor losing it.
Because I think that's the only thing that's going to work, right? I mean, I have a lifetime of that.
Failed diets that don't prove it.
You're right.
Like, you guys crack me up. It's like if I ask you, how much do you believe you're going to lose weight? Well, my past says I won't lose weight. And I'm like, okay, so I want you to do the realistic plan. But all my old diet mentality, I need that right now. I need that certainty. It's like, yeah, certain that you'll never lose weight. Like, if you're going to go to your past, guess what you get to do? You get to go to your past for all of it. If you don't
I
like
get to go to my past and see the 80 pounds that I've lost being regained 3 times.
Right. So. That's yeah. The conversation. Every time you're like wanting to like your brain, guys, it will want to fight everything I'm telling you because my shit's new. Nobody else is out there really teaching this.
Right.
Somebody's got to do it. I'm doing it. So you're here. Mm-hmm. Do what I say. Like I'm like my mentor for the last 2 days, she's been telling everybody, she's like, if y'all would just turn your brains off and do what I'm telling you, have a business. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I feel the same way. I just want to say, like, if you will all just turn your brains off and just do the four basics, we'll all be naked on that beach, retired, adoring ourselves. And I'll own the island, because if I can fix that, oh my God, I can buy
us. You're past Oprah status, man. You're there.
I'll be naked. A beautiful dream.
All right. So I'm going to work on the realistic plan first. And I'm going to also work on my 2-2, which is a big issue.
Yes. Work on that. And here's the other thing I want your thought work that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. Whatever is happening in the first half of the day, because this is the warning sign. If 50% of the last 60 days, you feel like shit happens and that's why you eat, that thought work has got to get done and cleaned up.
You're so right.
Yeah. It's like, where am I blaming? You know, who am I blaming my 33 overeats on right now? Mm-hmm. There's always a boss. Do you work?
No, I'm a stay-at-home mom too.
All right, there's some kids. All right, there's some kids and it's their fault. Massholes are getting colds. They're fighting. They probably blew a diaper one day. No telling what's going on with them.
Right.
But think about where am I placing my blame, my excuses, and my justifications? Mm-hmm. It's like, and how old are your kids?
They're 15 and almost 13. And one
Let's
of them.
Hope they're not shit in the bed then.
No, one of them's like your Logan. My oldest one has high functioning autism and is like, so yeah.
So then that's probably where you need to start.
Yeah.
Where am I blaming this kid for my stress to eat later?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You're right. You're right.
And that's hard work, mama. I know.
It's no joke.
Yeah. It's the work I had to do.
Yeah.
At some point, you just have to be like you need to do work on that kid being a circumstance. Because I'm going to guarantee you that kid's, that circumstance line is anything but. There's no facts there. There's probably a lot of thoughts. Find out what all your thoughts are. Take it over to Ask Coaches. Like, do them one at a time. Just say, like, Corinne told me to work on my kid. Like, I can feel it in my bones. I can tell because you're tearing up. Uh-huh. That this is probably where you really need to be working on. You need that realistic plan, because when you start working on that, you're going to have that even a stronger desire in the evening.
It's true. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So lots of thought downloads, lots of circumstances, realistic 24-hour plan.
Lots of thoughts. You probably only have very few circumstances. I would do some circumstances like I would put diagnosis of high functioning autism. Mm-hmm. Then I would do one of a circumstance of just your son's name. No autism. Because I'm going to tell you, one of the things that Brooke coached me on that was super helpful, and I hope all my moms out there who have kids with all the unique needs and stuff hear this. She made me just put Logan in the circumstance line, and she moved his diagnosis to the thought line. And she was like, you get to think about your child any way you want. Do you want to think about him like this anymore? She's like, I'm going to tell you, when I talk to you and you think about him like that, it hurts you. And letting that go will be the one thing that will improve that relationship.
It's true. It makes sense. It totally makes sense.
I really want you to listen. Come to the workshop tomorrow night, because I'm going to talk about all kinds of stuff about overeating. One of the concepts I'm throwing in there, because I didn't get it into this program, but I think super important, is all about truth. Like our kids have a diagnosis,
right?
And it's a truth. Truth is also very subjective. They're also just a teenager, and they're also human.
It's so
they're
true.
Also just our child.
Yeah,
we get to tell the truth any way we want to. And we get to leave out the other stuff if we want to.
Right.
You're all right, mama. I think I gave you plenty of work. You got it all.
Thank you. Thank You're you welcome. So much.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Woo. Renee, you're next. Hello. I think you have to unmute yourself. I don't think I do it anymore. Should be something on there that uses your sound. Hey, Kathy, somebody needs to go on Zoom on their phone and tell us what button they're supposed to push. That will help. We need to add this to our new instructions.
Hello?
I can hear you.
Oh, great.
Yeah, this is all like this whole mute, unmute thing is brand new. Like as of last week, we're even us coaches are like, what? We don't even know what to do. So we're going to get out. All right.
Thank you. This is my first time to talk to you. I joined in January.
Awesome.
And I asked you a Ask Corinne question about my binging issue.
Okay.
And I've been thinking and doing a lot of work about it. Now, just to let you know, I joined in January. And when I asked that question originally, I was all upset because, my God, not only have I not lost any weight, I'm up 5 pounds. I actually now don't care about that because I'm doing something completely different I never did before. And I got a lot of good things going for me. Like, I'm a great cook. And so meal prepping and planning, and I already love to eat healthy, is easy for me. And I'm good at it. So when I didn't want to do certain things, I didn't want to plan, I've already figured out how to do that. And I do it very well. And I got tons of notebooks going around. So I'm good. The issue with binging, it's a whole new world for me to not think of myself as somebody with a huge problem. But I really am looking at this now as experimenting. And it's one of the reasons I'm up 5 pounds.
Do not let yourself go there.
Okay.
That's not helpful.
If I don't mean it in a bad way.
I know, but I want you to hear what your brain's trying to, like, sometimes we have very good thoughts, but long term, what if it's another 5? And you're experimenting and solving, like, what if you had to gain 20 pounds to solve binging for the rest of your life?
Would I do that? If I could then take it off, yes, I would. No. I don't think I would. If I could stop here and solve it and not lose a pound, I still would do it.
That's why it's very important for you to, like, this is where you're going to need to do your work. You've got to decide, do I want binging in my life or not? And what is the price that I'm willing to pay to get rid of it?
Okay.
That doesn't mean you're going to gain 20 or 30 pounds, but I want you to watch how your brain immediately went to, I would rather deal with my binging and all that comes along with it and keep it forever if it meant I had to pay the price of 20 pounds for the rest of my life.
I would not.
Why is that?
I do not enjoy being the weight I'm at. And I had the opportunity to be so much thinner and for several years, though it's been a lifetime struggle, many years. And things really were wonderful.
But are you binging?
Slowly started again. And I wasn't able to at first. Because of the surgery that I had. And then basically that came back. I was able to. And I guess one of the things that I realized in doing the work that I've done since January is that I have a different kind of thinking. The overeats and things like that, I don't want to say stop them, but I can sit with them, I can deal with it, and I can plan so that they don't happen. And for the most part, they don't bother me. I'm a normal person. I don't feel normal when a binge is about to happen. I try to go back further. The plus 5, I'll explain. I had posted once or asked a question about cupcakes. I was somewhere and I had it in my head, this thoughts about cupcakes. And I kept saying, what are you really thinking about? I journaled. I wrote about it. I mean, these were the most freaking anticipated cupcakes. I wrote about it. There's got to be something else. In that moment, and even backing up a little, there really wasn't. It was the desire. When I'm about to binge, that desire is about that treat. For me, it's sweets. I eat healthy 90% of the time. I'm not a fried food person. I don't eat too much.
Well, let me ask you this. If you can't have it, then what are you going to be thinking about?
I think about it when I'm going to have it.
But we're not going to.
Right.
Like, this is such an important thing for all of you. Cause this, I asked this on the last call. If we were to say like, but we were not going to be able to have those cupcakes, like God just took them off the face of the earth. Like, they're never coming back. I'm sorry. I know you love them and you're going to want them. So if you can't have them,
I would have picked something else, I'm sure.
But no, I want you to imagine there's no binge food.
Okay. Like,
you're not going to be able to binge. You're going to have to just sit in whatever misery you're in.
Right. And I've done it.
So what is that? This is the thing. Whenever you binge, if you continue to tell yourself that it's only about the food. Now, I agree. Your brain is like, boom, let's just think about food, because it's wanting whatever it's trying to get away from or whatever it's wanting to create for you. It wants to be so distanced that it will overly focus on the food to where you're like, but I swear to God, it's nothing else. But if you keep telling yourself it's nothing else, your brain can never even open the door to entertain what you're trying to leave.
Right. I get that. And I also know that it's because I don't feel like my brain and me talking to my brain and reasoning with myself in that time, like I can at other times. It becomes all one, you know, chocolate seeking missile. That's what happens.
That's fine. Like, but that's what I'm trying to tell you is that we're going to need to just slow that part down.
Okay.
So like when is the last time you binged?
About 2.5 days ago.
Okay. So what did you eat?
I ate those horrendous, what are they called? They're Cadbury eggs, not the kind with the stuff in the middle, but the hard kind that are like an M&M with the candy shell. So I'm a Jewish girl.
How do you call them horrendous?
Because they've just something that I have always loved, and I have a really hard time having just a portion of it.
Probably because you think there's something wrong with them. Because if you think of food as horrendous, here's the problem with binge eating. The more you label foods as good and bad, the second you eat one that's horrendous, you've sinned.
Right.
I want you to think about that. You might as well go out and stab someone. Right. And then when that happens, immediately your body drops into the shame of the situation, the wrongness of the situation. There's something terrible happening right now. You know what you did? You ate a Cadbury egg. That's like what's really happening. But like, and I want to really like, what I want to do is like just dig in just a little to show you all the different areas. Like when you're saying like, I'd like this to end, there's lots of little pockets that are happening that you can start thinking about differently.
Okay.
All right. So first is catching yourself judging food. There's no judgment on food. There's foods that do something healthy for our body. There's foods that delight us in our mouth. There's all kinds of things to think about it. But if you think about them as being good versus bad, then like you are setting yourself up to be completely hosed if you ever eat a bad one. Even when it's planned, there will always be a twinge of guilt there. Like it's an exception. Like you binge eaters are the worst with my exception rule. Y'all can't even enjoy that shit. Because what goes on there? Your sin foods.
Right.
It's like, oh my God. It'd be like me saying, all right, now we're all going to lose weight, but everybody's got to go like kick a puppy. That's how we're going to lose weight this week. Right. You're going to be like, no, I don't want to kick puppies. But that's what, like, you might as well just say on my exception plan, I'm kicking puppies this week. It will feel skeezball. You never get to experience food in that healthy relationship of, you're doing a big part of it so right.
Yes.
These are foods that are amazing for me, and I enjoy this part of it. What I want to do is get you to where you enjoy the other side. And the other side isn't set up for doom, gloom, failure, and shame. All right, so first and foremost is you watching yourself and probably doing some, maybe make a list of foods that you would consider bad or sinful and whatnot, and then having like literally a daily conversation with yourself about these. There's nothing wrong with these foods.
Okay.
They're just food. It's literally, that's all that's happening here. And that my goal is to have a healthy relationship with all food. I want to view these foods the same, with the same energy that I view everything that's in that spiral notebook.
Okay.
That will be a magical piece for you. All right. So then the next thing is, so you eat these eggs. What was happening before that?
Nothing. I was in court. Nothing. I mean, it's stressful. Every day is stressful.
I'm just in court.
I work in court. That's what I do all day. I love being in the courtroom. So in other words, yes, stress comes up, but it's not unusual. That's what I do. That's what I'm good at. So it's nothing, you know, nothing in particular came up. Sometimes I notice it's certain people that, well, there's one person that I might be with that I enjoy being with. And it tends to happen a lot when I spend time with him.
And what goes on there that you would think would trigger a binge? Like, just make some wrong guesses.
Probably guilt.
Okay.
Sometimes, though, it isn't anything negative. It's just...
It doesn't have to be. I'm just trying to get some stuff. So sometimes we feel guilty when we're with this person, so we're having guilty thoughts around them.
No, yeah, I guess so. Or it could be even other things that have happened before. I might just... Somebody might talk about certain foods or whatever. And that day I seem to be susceptible to getting it stuck in my head and thinking about it a lot. And I don't know if that counts as something that happened before, or if that means that there's something that happened before that.
Probably. This is all right. So one of the things we're going to do this. So this is what I want you to notice is that you have some really good information for yourself to understand, like, there's no reason why I should feel guilty around another human. All right. So because I want you to, do you do the model at all?
Yeah, not as much. Okay. But
let me just, and you don't have to do the model. I just want to kind of show you what happens. Okay. So the circumstance, which is the fact of all of this, is this guy. All right. And spending time, like today I worked with him for 5 hours, whatever it may be. Right.
Right.
You're feeling guilty. There's things going on in your brain all day long that are causing you to feel guilty on a low level all day long, along with probably other normal daily things that just nag at you like a stressor. Like,
yes,
when it was busy, and you know, I really don't like sitting in traffic either. There was like some traffic early in the morning, and when I woke up this morning, I looked in the mirror and I was like, oh, working on this binging, it's going to take at least 5 pounds. You know, like little things like that happen that piles up all day long. And then it will feel like Cadbury eggs. I really don't feel and think anything. It's just all consuming. It's like, yes, backtracking your day.
Right.
Like, okay, here's all the small places I need to start working on my mind.
Okay.
So that when you see a Cadbury egg, that's no longer horrendous and it's just a Cadbury egg, you have some mental management left over for it. Or you at least have mental bandwidth to notice when you're obsessing over it. And you can be like, what's really triggering this? Oh, it's because I forgot. This guy can't make me feel guilty. I chose to feel guilty. Why was I feeling so guilty today? And it puts your brain into another problem solving mode. Your brain is trying to solve this problem of feeling guilty all day,
right,
with food. And what I want to do is like redirect it. It's like, it's fine to crave it, but if we're going to have it, then we're going to at least like do this part first.
Okay.
So like this guy, when you go through and you notice what your triggers are and stuff, like this guy's a really good place to start. Like, list the thoughts that you have that trigger guilt and start telling yourself, like, this is literally why I'm feeling guilty. It's because of the things I think about him. To start separating your brain away from like something you're thinking about him, you probably think is a fact that triggers your guilt. When it's okay, really like, you know, allowing yourself to try to release that and come up with new thoughts around it.
Okay.
So like your big homework, like the biggest one first, is just making a list of all those foods and working on, I no longer ever tell myself food is horrendous or bad or whatever. Okay. Like, I'm going to include all these foods together.
Okay.
Work on thinking, like take the thoughts you have around the foods that you think are good for you, and now you're going to try to figure out a way to make sure that these are also labeled as good for me foods. They're good for me because one day I will be eating them normally, like everyone else.
One thing I wanted to ask you, it was hard for me to say, okay, you know, I just ate all these, this bag of Cadbury eggs. So now do I need to go out tomorrow and get another bag and plan it? So I tried that. And guess what? The next day I sat down at the same time to eat the bag. I ate one. I didn't want it. I didn't want to do that again. I still felt sick from yesterday and didn't want to even see it, but I kept it around. In other words, it was still in my kitchen. So guess what? In 3 days from then, I rejuvenated, and then they looked really attractive to me, and I did it again. So then I realized, okay, you're going to still plan it the next day. You're going to have it. You're not going to eat it if you don't want to eat it, but then you got to throw it out. So at least I'd have to go get it again. I guess that's the step that I left out.
Yeah. And that's a really good thing to learn. It's like I'm just a big believer in, like, I know there are just certain foods. Like, I don't feel like I'm a binge eater around them, but I also know I don't want to sit around and do personal negotiations all day with it.
Right, right.
There's just some foods I don't keep in the house because it's like, I have got way better things to think about. And I know me. If my favorite ice cream is in the freezer, every time, like, I get a hate email, every time somebody needs me for something, every time, like, shit happens, you know, in the world, I'm going to be like, oh my God. That ice cream is just right there.
Okay, so plan it for the next day, but then you don't eat it or whatever you do with it, then it's done, it goes away, so that at least it would be the whole process again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think for you, just planning, like, you don't have to go buy the whole bag, you know? But I think, have you seen the worksheet we have called Tedious and Powerful?
Yes.
I think you planning to do that with all the foods you're going to list over there on that thing, like the horrendous foods, all of those. I think you should do one of the, a Tedious and Powerful on every single food.
Okay.
You don't have to do it like every single day. You got to do one, but plan it out. Like, all right, like two or three of these I'm going to knock out every week. I'm going to go buy them and I'm going to eat them very consciously and deliberately so that I can really see what I'm dealing with. And I would also do some Tedious and Powerful worksheets on your healthy food.
Okay.
So that you can see a lot, there's so much similarity. Like, we always think it's just the ones that we have no control over. It's like, I'm going to tell you, when you eat your healthy food, you're going to lose interest in that too. It's going to change in how it tastes in your mouth too. For all of you that have a problem with 2 to 2, do some work like that. Like, do a Tedious and Powerful. I guarantee you it's one of the best ways to figure out where your 2 is, because you eat so slow and you eat so mindfully, you really get in tune with what's going on when you're eating.
Okay.
All right, Lainey.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I hope that was helpful.
It was helpful.
All righty. Bye, sweetheart.
Bye-bye.
I think it's such an interesting question when we think about, like, losing all of our weight or ending our binging problems. Like, how many overeats, how many binges am I willing to do to solve this problem? Because so many of you will tell me, you won't tell me, oh, like, as many as it takes. Most of you will have, like, a number. Your first thought will be only this many. Because at a certain point, you're going to tell yourself, because I'm failing, because I'm not losing weight, because I'm not ending the problem. I'm like, what if it took so many and yet you were able, like, if I guaranteed the weight loss, because that is what I'm guaranteeing. If you guys could just be like, as many as it takes, like, I don't know, 17,000. I would do a worksheet every single time. Like, guys, I'm serious. Think about the question, like the answers. If I said you had to gain 20 pounds to end your binging, to end your, like, you say you weigh 300, and I was like, well, I can solve this. It's probably gonna take you gaining about another 40. And you're gonna sit there for a little bit. Oh, and then it's gonna start coming off. Would you do it? So many of you, the answer will be no. And then whatever the no is you want to ask yourself why. And that answer is going to tell you what your brain is holding on to right now. Because it's whatever you're going to tell yourself is what's preventing you from losing the weight every single time. All right. Jennifer Edwards, you're next. Whatever. I don't have any lighting. It's my ceiling fan. It's probably this, I think you're going to have to do it on your side, Jennifer. It's probably this Urban Decay foundation that I use. Urban Decay has the good stuff. Thank you, Christy. If anybody knows what button we're supposed to push, now I can't unmute people. What are we coaching on, just Jennifer Edwards?
Well, I'm doing good at work and doing pretty good with the money.
Good. Now,
since Thursday, I've gained 6 pounds.
Yeah. So we dubbed out our overspending for overeating.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been keeping my plans. I'm on day 77.
Good.
And I have lost weight, but then I've gained it.
Okay, so, we need to just deal with the 6 pounds. Why have we gained 6 pounds?
I think it's not getting all my water in.
No. Don't blame water.
Well, I haven't been able to get it in. Okay.
That's fine. You can get water in, but I'm going to tell you, you're not gaining 6 pounds because you're not getting your water in. You're gaining 6 pounds because you're making a decision.
Okay.
So what are you deciding that's making you gain 6 pounds?
That it feels like I'm eating too much. But see, I've got an accountability partner and she says I need to add more on my plan that I can have choices, which I can understand that, but I'm with the binge, I can't think of her name, the one we just had.
Renee.
Putting it on, but then deciding you don't have to have it. But I'm having trouble doing to where I don't get it. Even though I'm not hungry, I still eat it.
Okay.
Does that make any
sense?
It's
on the plan, but that's not your problem.
That's not my problem.
No.
Okay. What's my problem?
Tell me what your last overeat was.
Well, I guess it would be last night. I had it's a Mexican casserole.
Uh-huh.
And then I didn't need it, but I ate one of those small cake things that Melanie has.
Yeah. Was it on the plan?
It was on the plan.
Okay. Yes. All right.
But I wasn't really hungry, but I ate it anyway.
Okay.
And then I had on my plan nuts for when I got home from work, which is about 9 o'clock at night.
Okay.
I went and had the nuts, but I wasn't hungry.
Okay. So every single thing you've done for the 6 pounds is I have followed my realistic plan to a T.
Right.
Have you? That's what I'm asking.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So you've gone back to work. You've not had one off plan overeat.
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. So I just need to make sure we were there. So now what we need to know is why did you eat cake and why did you eat nuts when you weren't hungry?
I was at work and I knew I wouldn't be able to have time late. It's the thought, I know.
9 p.m. at work, right?
Yeah.
And time for nuts?
And time for nuts.
Okay.
Even though I wasn't hungry for them.
Right. No, that's fine. And time for nuts.
Yeah.
And your thought is what?
I want them. It was more of a...
Why do you want them? If you're not hungry and you know you're not hungry, you really want to lose weight, and you can't spend money, and you've had to get this job, why do you want nuts?
To make me feel better.
Yeah, why do you feel so bad?
I've been planning this graduation since I've homeschooled my kids. I'm planning a graduation for my son. Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of fallen apart, but I felt like I took on too much. And so I've been really stressed lately. So I think it's more to ease the stress. I want to eat. And I think that's going to help the stress, even though it's not going to help. I know what I'm doing, but it's stopping it to not do it. Or it's so
you do not need to work on this.
Okay.
Do you know when you will quit wanting nuts?
Never.
No, you're going to want to. Like, this is what's going to happen. Okay. There's going to be a day when it's 9 o'clock at night and you have a plan for nuts and you're going to want weight loss more than you're going to want what you put on the plan. Okay. That day is out there. It may be tomorrow. When do you think what do you think has to happen in order for that day to come?
The words I want to say, you don't allow us to say. What's it going to take?
Seeking relief right now.
Yeah, I'm thinking relief.
You're seeking relief.
Yeah.
So what's going to have to happen in order for you to not need to seek relief?
Yeah, I don't know.
You have to quit stressing out over bullshit, because then you don't need to seek relief, because you're going to give yourself relief from stressing out over bullshit.
Okay.
Guys, that's the secret to like when we're talking about cleaning up the little margins, you have two options here. Keep stressing out about graduation and whatever's going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
And like, just like, all right, I'm going to keep stressing on that. And so when it's time for nuts, I got to prioritize my weight loss at 9 o'clock at night when I'm already stressed and stuff. So that's going to be tough.
Mm. Okay.
It can be done, because you can manage your mind around this, guys. You can sit in discomfort. You can just be like, this is what I do, blah, blah, blah. But when we're seeking relief, that means, all right, but we're not going to get relief.
Right.
Because the relief you need to give yourself is doing your mental work around the other stuff. Like, these plans are falling apart.
Mm. But what's nice is we can join another graduation. It's not like it's trying.
But you need to be thinking that and not describing the situation. This is your circumstance. Yeah. The plans are falling apart. That's not a circumstance.
Mm-mm.
But I guarantee you, in your brain,
mm-hmm.
the party as I planned it will not be happening. We're going to this party. That's a circumstance.
Okay.
And it's not stressful.
No.
If I looked at you and said, yeah, plan this party for Logan, that's not going to happen. We're going to one on Tuesday, March 14th at 8 p.m. instead. Would you be like, oh, girl, that's got to be so stressful. I don't even know how you're doing it. Or would you be like, mm-hmm. oh, thanks for telling me the news.
Yeah. Things have changed. It's okay.
Yeah. But when you say, well, I had this graduation planned for my son, and well, that's all fell apart now. And, you know, it's been stressful. And now I'm needing nuts and I've gained 6 pounds. Do you see how we've co-mingled everything?
Yeah.
It's like, guys, y'all have to watch how much shit you say to yourselves. That's all going to happen when you're doing your journaling. Like, when you notice you're eating off plan, you do not need to ask your Marco Polo buddies for strategies on how to plan more food, or it must be water. Like, if you're gaining 6 pounds suddenly and you are doing this, y'all need to like challenge yourselves. Like, what is that bullshit going on in your life that we need to work on? Don't just sit around and commiserate in misery. Somebody needs to, I'm not throwing your Marco Polo group underneath the bus, but all Marco Polo groups, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say like, Jennifer, you've gained 6 pounds. Why? And it can't be about your food. What's going on in your life? Because everyone's eating because of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's responding because of their life. All our thoughts about their life. Where else is the stress coming? Because we used to know we're stressed, and now we're just going to eat over it.
Now we're just eating. I get it's more.
I will give you credit, though, because now you're eating on a budget.
True.
You used to spend without a budget. We've leveled up. It's like, no, it's all in the plan, Corinne. I swear to God.
And he's the one who buys the stuff. Right now I have $3 in my account, so I can't do anything.
Right. We're leveling up, Jennifer. We're making progress. I'm proud of you.
I'm having a hard time with managing work and home, learning how to, since it's not an 8-to-5 job, it's retail. So you sort of have to work when they tell you to work. And so it's weekends, weeks, weekdays. So I'm trying to figure out, I guess I'm adding the stress to myself on when to eat, how much to eat. And then I'm on my feet all the time, which I'm not used to doing. I'm used to sitting most of the time. And so I guess I'm more just putting it on myself that you have to do these certain things for life to happen. And then when you get home, it's like, huh, I can sit now. I can rest. So let's eat.
Yeah. So now we can just be like, huh, I'm home now. We can sit. We can rest. Let's rest.
Okay.
Let's do a thought download on let's just plan for the next, do you get your schedule a day or two out?
Oh yeah. 2 weeks in advance. Yeah.
Okay. So when you say I have to work whenever they tell me, there's a big fucking thought. I was like, I'm going to let her just roll on this conversation, but that is a thought and you have to manage that because it's going to feel so true but Corinne, they give me the schedule. They even give me money for showing up on that schedule.
Yeah.
It's them. It's like, no, it's not. You decided to take this job. Here's the other thing. They give it to me 2 weeks out. So when I have a schedule that's 2 weeks out, I've got 14 days where I can figure out each plan and how it's going to roll.
True.
I have all kinds of control. But when I think they have control over my mouth, guess what? Time for nuts. 9 o'clock.
Okay.
So really watching your thought works pretty on point. You know how to go through it. Now, when you're in the thick of it, it's like, oh, that's a thought. Ooh, that's a thought. I want you to go through it and do really figuring out, all right, if Corinne was going to read this, what would she tell me is actual facts here? Then everything else, I just want you to say, okay, this is either working for me or against me.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want it to, what do I want out of this?
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
Just what I want you to do is I want you to keep planning just like you're doing. But I want you to remember our coaching session. And when it comes time for nuts and just say, if I'm not hungry, I am not going to eat them. I'm going to make myself do the work because if I'm just wanting them, it's because I'm wanting probably, in your case, probably relief. Mm-hmm. I want relief from my thoughts, relief from my life, relief from my self-judgment. There's all kinds of relief that you're going to be seeking and you need to start training yourself on how to properly do that. Relief from the mental load that you're carrying. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Good work, Mama. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Does anyone else find this planning thing really hard? I started in January. I just struggle planning. I know it's a block. Any tips? Calgary, you do not need tips. You need to figure out why you feel like you're your struggle is way down here in the action line. So struggling can feel like a feeling, guys, but what I challenge all of you do is what does struggling look like here? It's indecision, thinking, mulling, searching, asking questions and stuff. It's if you weren't going to struggle with it, if I literally just said, tell me what you like to eat, Calgary, because this is how I would help you plan. Because we only plan one day in advance. Oh my gosh, it's Monday. What would you love to eat? Tell me about the day. If we were just going to have a casual conversation like that, you'd have no problems. You would just tell me. You know what the struggle is? I can't eat like that and lose weight. Just like we did with the first caller. There's no way I'm going to be able to lose weight. Ooh, this is too hard. I want to be spontaneous. All of that, that is where struggling comes in. That's what makes it hard. Literally, just like pick your five favorite foods and put them down, whatever it is. And you get into the habit of just writing stuff down. And then every day you make a small tweak. If you're not losing weight, then just start with like, okay, for the last 3 days, I ate all the things I loved. I didn't lose any weight. I don't know if that's going to get me weight loss, but is there anything on here I'm willing to trade out? Is there anything on here I could level up just a little bit? I'm going to tell you guys, I've been thinking about this. Like, where do I start you guys with the emergency button? Like, boom, Corinne, I'm not doing it. I don't know what's going on. I don't even know where to start, blah, blah, blah. If I could sum up no BS in like, here's the sentence. I have the magic. We're done. I'm out. Peace. It would be. Every time you're presented with food, you ask yourself, am I hungry? If the answer is no, you have to answer why you want to eat, and you cannot say because it tastes good. That doesn't get to be on there. Like, it has to be like, I owe it to myself to have a good fucking reason before I put it in my mouth. And if my reason is emotional, I will not do that. Now, sometimes you will anyway. But you will learn so much more about yourself by just going through that one scenario of never putting anything in your mouth until you ask the question, I'm hungry. So Calgary, this is perfect. I'm a picker. So I really don't know how to plan what I'm picking. I do know I will pick. Yeah. So here's your thing. You make a plan and it doesn't revolve around picking. Nobody loses weight picking. You make a plan saying, all right, I'm making a plan and I'm going to work on my picking. Your picking has nothing to do with it. Your plan is what you plan. Your picking is overeating. And so every time you want to pick, you have to get into the habit of asking yourself, am I hungry? Usually when we're picking, we're not hungry at all. We're in a habit. We are passing time. We're thinking about what we have to do the rest of the day, the rest of the evening. We're picking at someone else's plate. We don't want it to go to waste. We're doing all that. You start uncovering all of that stuff. And thank you so much for this Zoom. She is in Ireland. You're welcome. On the 2-2, I'm finding it hard to eat when I'm hungry because I constantly do breakfast, dinner, and tea. I don't think that makes it hard. I do breakfast and dinner, and I do my coffee. I don't find my 2-2 hard. What I would do is I would take all of that over to Ask Coaches. Once you do this, Calgary, why don't you go to Ask Coaches, talk about what makes your 2-2 hard, but actually give them like 3 days of food logs of like, here were the last 3 days of what I ate and put that in there and then describe this 2-2 problem so they can kind of see what you're actually planning and then say, and then here's the things I'm picking. Also tell them, say, Corinne was answering me at the tail end of the March, what is today? At the March 3rd call. And that way they can like replay it and hear what we talked about a little bit here. And that will help. But I would take all that over there. And then that way they can dive into what's going on with you and what you're doing in food. And guys, all of you at any time, you can always like, this is my thing. When you guys are having, like you don't understand why you're not losing weight or whatever, if you go to Ask Coaches and you can give them, like I was telling them, I was like, we should come up with a template on this. Cause I was talking to them this weekend. I was like, if everybody like posted like 4 days of food and a Saturday always had to be included, that would give us so much information because we'd get a little bit of weekend behavior. We'd get a little bit of like weekday behavior. Like I always think the magic is always like Thursday through Sunday. Like that or Friday through Monday. Like there's always a lot of magic that goes on in uncovering y'all's problems in those days. Almost all of you could examine that and probably drop some good weight if you clean that shit up. And then, but what would also happen is that if people had to do that, then we would know who's planning and who's not, who's recording and who's not. And then we know where to start because if you don't have data, you ain't got shit. You owe it to your future thin self to have some damn data. You need to set aside your shame, your judgment, your worries, your, I think it's not worth it. You need to set all that bullshit aside for your future self. Like, I will carry that backpack with me, but we're going to have our damn data. No excuses. All right. Guys, that's it. Y'all have a good one. I'm going to freeze my ass off, go see my empty new house. We hope to be moving by the end of this month. We're meeting someone over there who's going to talk to us about the paint, and feels like we're actually starting to get things rolling. Y'all have a great, great day. I will see everyone tomorrow night, 6 p.m., March the 4th. We're doing the overeating workshop. If you're coming, I highly recommend you bring the workbook if you can. If you can't, no big deal. I know not everybody's got a printer and all that kind of stuff. That's fine. At least have like the worksheets. Maybe you want to write some of them out just so you kind of know what I'm talking about and stuff. And if you have questions, bring questions. I'm going to be doing Q&A at the end of it. But it's going to be long. So plan for a long one. We will record it and all that kind of jazz. So don't worry if you can't be there live. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.